So like I said, I want to talk about demolishing strongholds in our lives, and I know that's a topic that can be very big, but I've got a certain area that I want to focus on. So when we come to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are a new creation in Christ. Amen. All the old things has gone. Everything is new. I'd like to say we're not going to make, you know what happened before you met Christ. Okay, fill in the blank. Before you came to Christ, fill in the blank, you know what happened there. But when you came to Christ, there's a few things that changed since you became a Christian. You know now you have a new heart. You know now you have a new spirit. And you know that this heart would want what God wants, right? It naturally directs you not to sin. And it lets you quickly know when you sin. Right, because that's the conviction the Holy Spirit's going to give. It's a very good sign that we are saved, that we're on the right track. We have a new life in Christ. Amen. And before we were a Christian, whether we realized it or not, the devil pretty much was our boss. Right? And we did things he asked us to do. Right? And some of us were really good workers for the enemy. But God came and he made you a new creation and you became God's child. And devil, take your dirty hands off me is kind of my attitude now. Right? The Bible says here in 1 Colossians 1:13, it says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom he have redemption and forgiveness of sins. Right? So we've received this forgiveness for stuff we've done, and we entered into a relationship with God. Amen. That's what happened when we became a Christian. We entered into a relationship, and I think that's an amazing thing. And now we know when God calls us home, and it's time for us to go, we know where we're going. We're going to heaven. Those are quite a lot of things that change, and I think that's amazing. What didn't change, I remember when I got saved, I didn't have this hair. I had a bald head. I was much younger. And the day I got saved on that camp, I looked the same when I came home. Everything was normal, right? The flesh stayed the same. Everything was normal. But something inside was radically different. I could feel it, right? All that to say, you look at it and everything looks the same. But what definitely also remained the same was sin. Sin didn't die. So that temptation of anything and everything is all over the place. It's always going to hunt us down and trying to get us to do the wrong thing, right? So that most definitely didn't change. So that puts us in a position where we are constantly going to be challenged to make choices as Christians. It makes, you know, how we're going to do this. Even though nothing can take away the fact that God loves us and he has saved us, it's down to us to choose to be one of three types of people, in a sense. There's the natural man, the man without the spirit, haven't received God. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says this, the man without the spirit does not accept the things that comes from the spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Right? So non-Christians cannot understand God, and they cannot grasp the concept of this God's spirit that lives in believers. They don't, why are you guys so crazy? And they say, why are you doing this? Really? All this church stuff? Why are you guys so happy? Why are you clapping? What's going on with you? You guys are weird, right? But we shouldn't expect most people to approve or understand our decision to follow Christ, right? It all seems silly to them. That's pretty much the nature of the natural man. That's where they're at. That's the guy that still needs Jesus. And like everyone who is not a Christian, they're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead, right? Separated from God, living independently from God. And actions and choices are based on the flesh, human ways of coping. Now, this person doesn't necessarily have to be poor or middle class. They can be extremely wealthy anywhere. Can place them. It happens with everyone. So it doesn't mean they're unhappy. I know a lot of people who are not saved who are extremely wealthy, doing good for themselves. They've got all kinds of cars, fancy houses, lots of cool things, travel a lot. So they appear to be happy. They say, we've got everything we want. We don't need anything else, right? And they've probably learned ways on how to deal and to cope with life that works for them. But in the long run, they will struggle with spiritual things, and ultimately, unless they accept Christ or they meet Jesus, they're not going to heaven. And that's the ultimate thing. Now, that man's end, we know, without Christ, all of that stuff means nothing. They're going nowhere. It's nothing. Amen? Secondly, there's the spiritual man. right? Corinthians 2:15 says this, the spiritual man can make judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to judgment. So no one can comprehend God, but through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, believers have insight into some of God's plans, his thoughts and his actions. I like what happened earlier this morning during worship, and we could see how God was just revealing words and speaking to us through his children. Amen, because that's what happens when the Holy Spirit shows up, right? Through the Holy Spirit, we can begin to know God's thoughts, talk with him, and expect his answers to our prayers. Doesn't mean all our prayers will be answered when we wanted to, but God will show up in his time and answer our prayers. Amen. Now, this idea of this spiritual man is ultimately, it's kind of the place where we want to aim. I think living in the way that all Christians can almost is being transformed through the faith in Christ, has received forgiveness and acceptance into God's family, and has realized who Christ is. He understood himself. He found his identity in Christ. That's quite important. This guy makes choices by listening to God's spirit rather than to the flesh. Amen. Getting rid of old ways of thinking and replacing them with the truth. The Bible calls that renewing of the mind. They experience joy and peace, not the materialistic happiness, having all the stuff, but joy. Joy that comes from a deep relationship with Jesus Christ that does not, it's not influenced by external circumstances. You can live wherever, but that joy, they can't take it away because it comes from a relationship with Jesus. Amen. They have peace that goes beyond all understanding. Everyone's like, hey, it's crazy out here. Why are you smiling? Well, I serve Jesus. Amen. He's in my boat. It's that type of thing. That's what this guy, that's what happens here. Demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. It comes bit by bit. And he sometimes messed up. Yeah, it's okay to say amen. Sometimes messes up. You sin a little or you make a mistake. But he can't shake off temptation and not let it run his life, because he knows that when he messed up, he can come to God and say, hey, Lord, forgive me, repent, move towards Christ, not towards Burger King, but towards Christ. And you know what you have, right? Because you know where your safety is at. That happens. So this idea of this guy, that's guy two, right? So guy one, natural guy, needs God. That's his life. Guy two, kind of ideal for us as a Christian. We want to be here, right? And there's a third guy. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3 talks about this. He says here, you are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling amongst you, are you not worldly? Question mark. Are you not acting like mere men? It says here, immature Christians are worldly, controlled by their own desires. Matured believers are in tune with God's desires. How much influence do your desires have on your life? Amen. That's a question. Because, yeah, let's move on. Your goal should be to let God's desires be yours. Being controlled by your own desires will stunt your growth. And I think this is kind of between the spiritual guy, the fleshly guy. You'll find here, yeah, this is someone who had the same life-changing experience as the spiritual man. He accepted Christ, actually, right? A Christian, a new creation, but instead of following impulses of the Holy Spirit, he follows his impulses of his flesh. He has an option to the freedom to walk according to the Spirit, but chooses not to, either on purpose or perhaps because of he doesn't really understand the freedom that he has. And this is where strongholds can start to show face. So it's kind of between the ideal of how we'd like to serve God, and we are actually serving him, but we've got all this stuff going on, and how can we deal with that? He thinks a lot of wrong thoughts, experience a lot of negative emotions and feelings. And his body, you know, just shows a little awkwardness at times. Life's hard. Still a Christian, has a relationship with God, going to heaven, but not living to his full potential, also tends to get stuck in certain sins. Probably we can all recognize sometimes that there is something in our life that we keep on saying to God, can I just get over it now? I'm tired of struggling with this little thing. Kind of just, you know, fill in the blanks as we move on. So maybe we keep running time and account to, Jason made an interesting point, comfort eating. We can lose our tempers a little bit. We gossip. You know what? Just fill in the blank. That thing that really keeps you away from allowing God to do what he wants to do, you fill it in. I'm not going to call it all out. We all mature. In the end, we feel completely hopeless and we feel wrong. We can never escape. You're still saved, but he's not living his life as well as it could. You're not happy as you could be, and you don't achieve anything or most of the things that God wants for your life, right? You're kind of just stuck there. And most of the times, these are strongholds. I have a little image I want to pull up. Uncle Greg, can you pull that one up while I have some water? That's a stronghold or a fort or castle. Castle from South Africa. It's a castle, not a castle. Okay. So I just want to say, show an image of a stronghold. The idea, like I said, the first service. I'm not a engineer or someone who can construct these things. But looking at it, I've seen these things in movies. You know how difficult it is for people. They always throw these big fireballs trying to break it, or you know, like these big planks, and they're trying ways to throw these hooks over, get on top of it. Somehow they want to get in. But the whole idea of the stronghold, it was built by someone who owns a kingdom or a king, and the idea was they wanted to be safe. So behind there, there's someone who thinks I've got lots of stuff that no one must take, and my life needs to feel safe behind this. In biblical times, strongholds were fortresses of protection used to hide from the enemy on the battlefield. A stronghold therefore represented a place of security from the oppressive elements of battle. So in the spiritual battle of our lives, a stronghold acts the same way, but depending on where that stronghold has been built, it can have dramatically different results. For example, in Psalm 94:22, it says, "But the Lord has become my stronghold and my God, the rock of my refuge." This is a picture of God acting as a safe haven and a point of security. This is a stronghold that buffers us from the enemy, right? And the word stronghold is found once in the New Testament, used metaphorically by Paul in a description of a Christian's spiritual battle. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses," which are strongholds. And this passage reveals the following facts about our warfare: that we need God and his word to come and check over our thoughts and attitudes of our hearts and demolish those that aren't true. Because strongholds ultimately are a lot of lies that we start believing. But we'll get there in a moment. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Very many Christians aren't experiencing this kind of freedom. They believe the truth at the some level, but they struggle to let the truth make a difference in their everyday lives. Last week, I spoke to a couple of young men who was very interested in being good Christians, but they struggle to believe that all of this is real, that all of this is true. It's hard to comprehend and understand that that's actually all true. What are we supposed to do? That's a lot of stuff to process, you know? So, of course, we disciple and we work through that. But the truth is, the enemy is using those type of tactics to confuse young people and tell them lies about how this book can never be true. And those are all strongholds he's building in their minds and kicking them away from Jesus. Strongholds are connected to the flesh, our lives, our family circumstances, etc. And that's programmed us to believe certain things. So when we become Christians, although we become brand new creations, like the spiritual man, no one came and pressed an all-clear button right here. And all your bad experiences and all those things that happened to you and everything that life did to you is all gone. No. So it challenges you to be in a position where you have to now choose to believe the truth all the time. We still have things we believe that aren't true, things that predispose us to act in a certain way. These are all strongholds. There are ways that we have learned to think and behave for us to stay in control. I read up some strongholds were made up of 16 million bricks. I don't know who does that. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears has gone into building structures like this. Planning, resources, lots of work for for someone's safety, someone's protection, someone to feel safe, right? So if you were behind that, take a little side journey, you're behind that wall, all right, in the spirit. Jesus, God, wants to be your stronghold. He wants to be the one who protects you, right? So understand this, that the enemy is going to come and wants to attack you all the time with all kinds of temptations. And he's going to go against that. But man, it's going to be hard work for you to try and do this on your own. Jesus is saying, that wall that you do, that you build, was built while you were standing, and you took all those things that happened to you. Unforgiveness, there's a brick. All my hurts, there's a brick. All the hate I feel, there's a brick. All the wrong people did to me, there's a brick. I'm never, ever, ever going to talk to him again. How could he? There's a brick. They did that to me? There's a brick. What? There's a brick. No way. There's a brick. You are lying. There's a brick. You see how easy it is. And before you know it, you have your own little beautiful, highly engineered castle or fortress or stronghold built to defend yourself, protect yourself against everything and everyone. And then now, fill in the blanks with the things that you really, really know deep down. Some of the words went out this morning. I was just thinking, thank you, Lord. There'll still be time for us to pray for you. But whatever bricks you put in that wall to build your stronghold, the problem is you're a Christian. How's God is a gentleman, right? And how is he supposed to get to you if that massive high wall that you've built, that stronghold is built, how is he supposed to get to you and deal with you? The stuff that you are struggling with if that's the way you treat him. So, you have chisels in America and hammers, right? So, you have to now be on the inside of that stronghold and with the power of the Holy Spirit, take all the spiritual weapons that God has given us in Ephesians. And you're going to have to start hitting out every brick bit by bit, chisel by chisel. Abuse, I'm going to knock you out. Unforgiveness, I'm going to knock you out with the help of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to do something about it in order for God to say, well, it's gone. Now I can be your protection. Now I can come in and put my hands around you. And you don't have to run behind those doors when life gets hard, because that's what we do. We go back to the stuff, and we heard a lot about addictions today. Exactly that. You go back to those things, those strongholds that makes you cope, because that's your safety. That's it. You go behind, you lock yourself in, and you say, well, this is where I'm in control. This is where it can happen for me. Well, God says, you are limiting yourself to what I want to do in your life. And if you keep on doing this, you're going to stunt your growth in the spirit. So you're going to have to break down those walls with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to break down those strongholds in the name of Jesus. Amen. Strongholds make us feel hopeless. And we start to believe that even though we are new creations, things won't ever change. However, God promises life in its fullness. If you struggle to do something that you know God wants you to do, or if you find it impossible to stop doing something you know God doesn't want you to do, it's likely to be a stronghold that's getting in the way. It's not that God isn't asking the impossible from us. He's asking, he would never ask you to do something that you couldn't do, because that's just not his style. You know, he knows you good enough to know what he's going to put on your shoulders to carry. If we've never found out how to tear down strongholds, we might continue to use excuses to explain them this way. You know what? Just leave me alone. It's just how I am. Just leave me. That's how I speak. Don't tell me anything. Just leave me alone. You do you, I do me. Well, I've got news for you. The Bible is the guide for how we should treat one another. We can't use our rudeness and our anger and all kinds of misbehaving attitudes that we have and treat it that you, this is me. No, you're a child of God, and this Bible trumps it everything. You need to come and get your attitude and everything in line with this. This is the benchmark, right? You might have a mental stronghold there, right? So briefly, a few things, how strongholds come to be. Our environment is one. I grew up in South Africa. Some of you took some missions. I know some of you traveled a lot of other places. I am using this as a reference point. You see everything, some of the smaller kids get told certain things. You are useless. This will never work for you. Really? You want to become that one day? Why don't you just stop? These kids grow up with these ideas that they can't accomplish anything or achieve anything in their lives, right? A big percentage of households in South Africa is headed up by 17 or younger kids are running it, because the idea of a father being present is not that big respected in those communities, you know? They come and then they go buy soap and they never come back, you know? And they leave moms and older siblings to raise babies. And that's unfortunate, a very sad pandemic. But the point is, that environment creates kids to never think that it's important to be a man. You understand? It's never important for them to take responsibility for raising a family, you know? Your environment, you become a victim of that. That's a stronghold. Trying to deal with those boys when they hit 13 or 14, I have this book called Teenage Tata, which means teenage father, that I'm reading. Just the ideas that it's crazy, because no one taught them any otherwise. It's, the Bible's not there to tell them that, hey, you can't live like this. The environment creates all these strongholds and they think they're right. All lies. Traumatic experiences, another access point for the enemy. That's another thing. Strongholds can be access points. Maybe there was a death in a home, which is true, and these things can be hard for people to deal with. Abuse of some sort. Kids deal with parents divorcing all the time, and they blame themselves, or even adults not being able to figure it out. Strongholds. It's not that the traumatic experience themselves causing the stronghold, but it's the lies that we believe as a result of it. Because that's mostly what it is. You keep believing the lies that you were told, and the enemy is smiling with a big Colgate smile when you do that, because he knows he's getting it. You know, is Colgate a good toothpaste here? Okay. Should I say? You got it? It's too South African, right? He's just sitting back and he's just saying, with that glint, you know, little spark in the end. He's happy. You're believing his lies, right? These strongholds can be torn down with truth. And you can go back to the past experiences and look at them in the light of who you are now, a child of God, right? And you will see that you don't have to be a helpless victim because you are a new creation in Christ. And you will discover that you don't need to carry guilt around with you, because Jesus has taken the guilt upon himself on the cross of Calvary. And the devil don't want you to believe that. Because the more you can keep your own little pity party in the room, buying your old chips and sitting back and saying, oh me, how horrible life is for me. He's like, oh, okay, cool. I've done my part. So you need to understand and see that Jesus has taken that guilt on you. And the moment you became a Christian, the moment you became a new creation, he's given you all these benefits to say, trash this side, get a dump stick or something, right? Yep. So one problem with a stronghold is that if you believe something that is not true, you will also feel something that is not true. And that is a tough one, because you start feeling useless. You start feeling like a loser, and that's really difficult. So you may feel rejected when you're not really rejected. You may feel helpless, but you're actually not. Those are strongholds. And then there's a third one, which is the last one in that I've got down. There's a lot more, but I think these are key ones. These are strongholds came to be. Temptation. Another tie, a stronghold, a place to form or to become stronger is when we keep giving into temptation. In fact, Satan tempts us in order to build strongholds in our lives, causing us to go around in circles feeling helpless and hopeless. Because how horrible you feel when you did it again. And I'm not pointing to that pop song, oops, I did it again or something. Not that, but I'm just saying how hopeless you feel when you know, it's what the enemy wants. Because now he's got you two steps down, right? And we are all made with the need to be significant, secure, and feel accepted. And all the temptations is an attempt to get you to fulfill those needs anywhere apart from God. So Satan has observed your behavior, and he does. And over the years, he knows exactly your vulnerable points and where he'll attack. That's why you keep saying, I just lost it. Everything went great. I had a beautiful day. I bought someone coffee even. And then everything was fine. And when I walked into the house, I just lost it. Because the right problem happened, right? The thing that triggers, maybe it won't trigger you, Uncle Scott, but maybe Cheryl, you know, he knows, right? The truth is we really don't have to give in to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, when you are tempted, God will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And often when we are tempted, it doesn't feel like there's a way out. So you go, where's the way to escape? You know, you start reasoning in your mind and saying, hey, maybe it's just once or it's just now. Won't last forever, but the last time might be the time that breaks what's the camel's back, they say, and might be really difficult. You know, remember, when we mess up, God comes and he gives us forgiveness. But if we don't take it, that's our fault, because we can offer forgiveness, accept it, repent, come back to God and move on. Sometimes, unfortunately, there'll be consequences for those actions, and sometimes these consequences can be really hard. But we need to live through the joy of the forgiveness that God has given us and accept it for what it is and move on. So choose wisely. There's a saying that goes, your thought life. So there's a saying that goes that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. Right? So no bird is going to build a nest. Yeah. But a lot of thoughts, the idea is a lot of thoughts pass through your mind daily. I said in the first talk, John Maxwell made a comment, I think it's over 10,000 thoughts that goes through your mind a day. I'm not sure. Correct me, but it's quite a lot. It's thousands, okay? And once you allow a thought to land, before you know it, it has built a nest and made itself at home in your head, right? Made itself coffee, put on the kettle, made tea, had some of your cookies, open the fridge, pour milk, half and half, sit down, switch on the television. He's chilling out. He's going nowhere. And you're like, who's in my head? Well, you can choose to let that go out. Your mind is your own, and you are in charge of it. Not every thought that comes in your mind is your own, but you are the one who decides which can land and which can simply be dismissed. Amen? I told the youth guys a while ago, Steve Jobs, you know, he's not around no more. He's somewhere in the iCloud. But he was around. He was going to come around and make this cap. I might have said this before, but it's okay. I'm going to make a point here. And this cap has this massive high definition. Not HD. What's big now? HD4 now? 4K? Well, this is like HD100Z, right? This is like high level. And every thought that you have, when you put this cap on, every thought that you have, people can see it. So the challenge was, who will wear that cap? Coming to church without caps. We all go to the soccer game without caps. We all go to work without caps, and we don't care what people see because we are Christians. We think beautiful things. It's just heaven and beautiful birdies flying and, you know, it's green. Right? That's our thought life. Yeah? Oh, okay. Oof. I should probably move on. Well, that's the idea. You get the point. You get the point. We won't wear that cap comfortably because we know ourselves. But those thoughts aren't always ours. But the enemy uses that as one of his biggest tools to mess us up. Tempting thoughts that you don't reject straight away lead to action. And repeating the action will result in a habit. And leave the habit undisturbed for a while, you have a stronghold. Cool. So a good place to water. Sure. To stop is when that thought comes. Threshold thinking. Oops, stop. One more thing as I move on. I told the seventh graders the other day that David ran to Goliath. We know the story. He ran to Goliath. He didn't take a cruise. He ran because he knew it's either him or Goliath. And Goliath was out in business. He was going to kill him, right? That was his intention at least, right? We know the story, the outcome. Even when Goliath fell, he went, he took out his sword, he sliced off his head, put on a stick, walked around, you know, victory. But he got rid of the problem. He made sure the problem was dead. If temptation is one of those things, if it's really, really difficult for you, you're going to have to get rid of the problem. You're going to have to hit the head off. So if you have your smartphone and viewing content is a problem, young people, yes, I keep saying that, get a flat phone with no screen. Get a filter on the computer. Get away from the games. Don't hang with those friends. Get rid of the problem. Hit the head off. Whoosh. Giant is dead, right? Yeah, that's like long years. In Africa, we learn like how to do sound effects with a talk. But anyways, so what strongholds do to us? This is towards closing. Gives us a wrong view of reality. So when we talk about world, you know, worldviews, you get different worldviews. Pretty much how you view the world is where you grew up. I think there's quite a few different ones. Modern worldview, postmodern worldview. But the idea is you learn to do things a certain way because of your culture. You learn to do a certain way because where you grew up. You don't learn American English by learning it. You pick it up when people speak it in your house. That happens to me when I learn Afrikaans. So everything I learned came through my environment and where I grew up, and that's my reality. Is it true? Not necessarily, but it's my truth until I met the ultimate truth. You understand? So your worldview and those things, your view of reality needs to be challenged and said, well, good things of your culture is great, keep it. But the things that are really going to keep you away from God, and you're not matching it up in this, the new view, the way you can see your worldview is put a certain color of glasses on. You see Africa green, you see America red, you see China yellow, whatever. But Christian worldview, we see it through the Bible. You see it? And that's how we view it, and that's how we should approach it. So that you can have the correct view of reality, not your view. So that's what it will do to you. Secondly, bad choices. Strongholds pushes us toward making bad choices because we are basing our decisions on something that actually isn't true. So not a great basis for your entire life, I would say. So every day we have to make the choice whether to do the things God's way or trust our own feelings and instincts more. What a dumb decision. He wants to trust your... I don't have another word. I think it's just dumb to think that you're going to do it your way. And it's going to work out okay, you know? Unfortunately, some of those feelings and instincts are strongholds that blur your vision to the warning signs that God has put up for us. And every time we decide to choose God's way, whether we feel it, like it or not, we will change a little bit until gradually it gets easier to make the right choices. So we should be intentional about the right choices. It shouldn't be by the way. It takes work, right? Hard work, but it's good hard work. It gives you spiritual muscles, six packs and triceps, you know, build you strong. Good stuff. You can fit in a movie like that when you're done, you know. It's pretty good stuff here. No, that image fits with that. See Thor, you know. Good stuff. Well, demolishing strongholds, the good news is that we don't have to put up with strongholds just like a well-functioned computer. Mine at the moment is giving problems. But a computer needs regular checkups for viruses, and you need to update it and check in. So we need regular checkups. See, oops, where have I messed up, Lord? You know, can I, you know, what? Pray about it. Call up a brother. Big thing I tell the youth guys, accountability. If you know that you don't have an accountability partner, you have a problem in this, that you're struggling with certain temptations. you have to make sure that you can check the viruses on your computer by calling him or her up, guys with guys, girls with girls, preferably older people, and your parents know about them. Check in, talk. 5 minutes on a Tuesday, I'm struggling, you know. Check the viruses on your computer. First, we need to get rid of the enemy's influence, cut off that head. And once you've done that, a stronghold is just a habit to shake. And you can change a habit within 21 days, they say. Look, you know, you can just change that. You can choose to believe the truth instead of the lie and change that habit. In closing, our battle is not planned according to the way the world fights. We know that. Our weapons are not physical, for our warfare is spiritual in nature rather than guns and tanks or weapons. For those of, we use the full armor of God, and that consists of the belt of truth, buckle around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this all, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, your thought life, and the sword, the spirit of the truth, which is the word of God, and move forward. Our power comes from God and God alone, and no other man can come and tell you that they will give you power. We look out into the world and we see how powerful we want to become by doing other things. You're going to mess it up big time, right? True power comes to God through Jesus Christ, through his word. And God's plan is to demolish the strongholds on your behalf for you, if you allow him to.